right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on TuneIn. And what do you got there, bud?
That guy's stung.
You want to speak English, man?
Well, no one understands what you're saying, Dickman. Why don't you say it the way a real man says it?
Wait, what's everybody jumping on me for?
Can't understand what you're saying, man. I ask you, do you have the song? You go,
I told you, man, articulate. Everyone thinks you're talking some kind of Swahili. Spit it out.
I said I got this song called A Honeycomb or whatever it's called.
What, Jimmy Rogers?
Yeah.
I wanted to hear it.
Well, we're all done with that topic, okay?
I wanted to hear it. I want to hear it because I may want to do it. Pardon me? I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, God. Are you going to do that in the show on Sunday night?
Maybe. I'm wondering, I might want to do that song for the show on Sunday night. I'm not sure.
You know, Margaret, this is a one-man show. You understand that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to be the guy on stage.
I know that, Your Royal Highness. I know that, Mr. Burton. But I simply am saying that in the introduction, which you do have me doing, I'm wondering if I... Forget it.
No. Not forget it. You don't bring up something, and I told you about that. So what?
Well, you're sitting here saying it's a one-man show, and I'm the one that's going to do it.
Yeah, you're getting all think you're all great and everything.
Well, maybe I do think I'm all great. What do you think of that?
Wow, what a pain in the ass you are. All of a sudden, you think you're some kind of a big star, huh? Like a Anthony Queen or whatever the guy... What was the guy's name?
Better get some water.
Yeah, get some water, man, instead of coming in here.
I'll be back. You know, I think that that is something... He may want to have his throat looked at.
Yeah, I think so, too. It may be something that is, quite frankly, something that a doctor can't fix. Like, maybe he has an ill-formed... Maybe he's got a malformed brain. How about that? Okay, so we do have Father James McQuarters in a few moments here. Father McQuarters is going to be talking about this really bizarre story having to do with the nuns and contraception. That's just flipped out, man, that stuff. In the meantime and in between time, I want to tell you, we did tell you that we'll be on stage on Sunday night. I already told you that. I think I'm going to leave early. I'm driving up, okay?
Aren't they supposed to fly you and give you escorts and not like Justin Bieber, but aren't you supposed to have security and people keeping fans away? And
No. We don't need that. I was going to fly up, but I decided I wanted to drive. And the reason why I want to drive is I wanted to... Why did I want to drive? Because I want to get there when I want to get there. I don't want to... I don't like flying if it's that close. And the other thing, you know, we're talking about a six-hour drive. By the time you get to the airport, you get your bags checked, all that bull crap, you get on the plane, you get off the plane, you go get the bag, you go get the... Do you know you're already burned up? The flight to San Francisco is an hour. Now, I'm not going to say it's a full 6 hours that you burned up, but the fact is, I don't like all that waiting around. I'd rather drive. I don't know.
You'd rather drive?
Yeah, you just said rather.
I'd rather drive. There, is that fine?
Yeah, but then you want us to point out and say the weather.
I didn't say... What do you mean? I said rather. I said rather.
Yeah, you said rather.
I know, and I corrected it, didn't I?
Yes, but it still sounded asinine, and we just wanted to know, is that how you want to go down? Is that the way you want it to be? Is that the way I want it to be? I want it to be right, but I don't need to be corrected every 5 seconds when I get something wrong like that, okay? So you want it to be weather?
No, you guys already corrected it, and you made it rather. And I knew that I'd said something wrong, and that's where that's at. Now what we're doing is we're talking about it ad nauseum until I can't stand it any longer.
See what happens?
Yeah, this happens to you, Phil. You begin to giggle and laugh as your brain dries up, you know, as you no longer... You can't make any sense out of what it is you're saying, and your mind begins to go. And, oh, here it is.
That's why I was burning up all this time, well, so you could have your stupid song.
Kind of funny how the this is wonderful. I could do this. Bang, right on the head. And then I got my brains beat out of my ears.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to modernize it.
Margaret, the whole thing happened over 40 years ago. The guy's career happened over 40 years ago. What are you...
Weren't we talking about Justin Bieber?
Yeah, we're talking about Justin Bieber. This guy's about as far away from Justin Bieber as you can get, man. He's almost like another species. Like Justin Bieber and Jimmie Rodgers aren't even the same species. They're hominids. They walk on two legs.
They're hominids.
And the Lord said, what did you call him?
So what do you want to do? Will you turn that down, man?
Wait. I'll bet you that's why the cop beat him, because he went up. And the cop said, you know something, that's all. That's.
You know what? I just thought of that. If I was a cop and he pulled that with me, I'd go, okay, all bets are off. Boom, bang, boom, boom, bang, bang. Down he goes. I'll bet you he was a walking, talking honeycomb after they beat his brains in.
What a darn turn stuff off before I flip. God, after they beat his brains in.
So you don't like it, huh?
No, I don't like it at all. I don't like any part of it. It's got nothing to do with contemporary events. It's beating into the ground something that already got beaten into the ground, and his head as well. It's,
Pardon the expression.
Exactly, if you'll pardon the expression. It's all that and less. So no, I don't want you to do that. That poor man, he's probably to this day still gets headaches and suffers from that incident. That's terrible. All right, the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Nice to have you guys with us. So here it is. This is a very weird thing. Nuns get partial win in U.S. Supreme Court contraception fight.
Now this I gotta hear.
Well, I don't think it's as nutty as you think. It's here it is. The U.S. Supreme Court said on Friday that while litigation continues, an order of Roman Catholic nuns need not comply with a part of President Barack Obama's health care law requiring employers to provide insurance that covers contraception. In the latest skirmish over religious objections to providing government-mandated contraception, the four-sentence court order was a partial victory for the Little Sisters of the Poor, a Baltimore-based order of nuns that runs nursing homes, and Illinois-based Christian Brothers Services, which manages health care plans for Catholic groups. The unusually worded order by the court imposed a requirement on the groups before they can claim the exemption. First, they must send written notification to the Department of Health and Human Services saying they object to the contraception mandate. The court's decision means that as long as the groups send the letters, they are effectively exempt while litigation continues in lower courts, putting off for now any conclusive decision on this latest legal challenge of Obamacare. The Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which represents the group, hailed the court's order.
Well, this is a whole lot of nothing. I don't think that the Obamacare was ever meant to order nuns to have contraception, you know?
No, I don't think it was either, but what is happening now is...
Well, how do you know? You can't make that claim.
Yes, you can make that. Are you kidding me or something?
Look at this guy, Obama, has he's turned this whole thing into a walking lump of you-know-what. It dropped out of a cow's rear end, grew legs... And now it's walking all over our rights. And I'm telling you this, and you can take this to the bank.
Yes?
What?
God.
He forgot.
I need to get cottage cheese.
I can understand people wanting to take the political opportunity that this presents. You know, oh, look at this. Here's Obama riding roughshod over the rights of others and the American... You know, there's one thing's clear. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't exactly thought of when it came to this Affordable Care Act. Now, I have a friend of mine, as we speak, a friend of mine working on behalf of the ACA, Affordable Care Act, and they're working overtime reading this law so they can explain it to people who are poor or dire means or indigent, so they can explain it to them so that they can get health care coverage. And it's quite an expansive and extensive study.
Now, so what are they? They're looking at the actual law.
They're looking at the law. It's a big law. And what is needed is someone who's conversant with this law. Now, I support national health care. I always have and I always will. God knows the fight that has been waged to get this into law in this country has been extensive. It's been ridiculously, stretched out and It's been a subject of every kind of asinine argument you can think of. But the fact is, nonetheless, it has become law. But the law itself is a big law, man. And it's a law that has to, it makes an effort to blend the American private care that we have with the idea of national health care. And that's probably where it runs into problems, because you've got a system in place and you're trying to marry that system to a new overriding mandated national health initiative, if you will, or mandate, and it's not always...
Well, what this area they're talking about, if I understand it correctly, Phil, is... I don't know.
Herb Sewell on the phone right now.
All right, Herb Sewell is on the phone. Herb, as you know, does some... He does a lot of research. He does quite a bit of work as a telecommuting kind of work for educational systems, higher institutions of learning, I should say, in educational systems. Herb, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil. And I heard you, try to explain the National Affordable Care Act. I think it bears repeating what you said, that it is a very difficult thing to marry, you know, an existing platform. This is the National Healthcare Platform, you know, and trying to marry that to the new National Healthcare mandate. So we have the private healthcare trying to mandate that. You understand?
No, I don't. Not a thing you said.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
Well, I'll say it again. I hope that you would listen more carefully. I said you're trying to mandate. You're not mandating. You're trying to marry. As you said, it very well, Phil. You know, you said to marry the private sector health platform that we have now to the national health care mandate. Now, that's a very difficult thing, and there are areas where there'll be gray areas, they will be slightly off-white areas. There'll be some areas that are totally white, which means that they meld together very well, or totally black, which means they... But then the gray area, or the beige area. You know, not trying to put the colors of the rainbow on it, you know.
Okay, Herb, not to interrupt you, but what my question is the following thing. All of these areas, for instance, when Obama said you wouldn't lose your health care, oh, well, wait a minute. Yes, you would if it was a health care plan that was not legal. It was not delivering basic requirements. Okay, they were wrong there. Now they're ordering a contraception, or at least it has to cover contraception, but you have these nuns.
I think that what we have is a little bit nitpicky, you know. You try to nitpick. The president has a law, and they're trying to nitpick hell out of it. I don't know. I'm looking at it myself, and I'm seeing a lot of areas that are very difficult, but I don't think... Well, you're talking about nuns. You're talking about nuns, right? Nuns, I think, should have. Contraception, I think that goes without saying.
Well, why do nuns have to have contraception, Herb?
Why do nuns have to have contraception?
Yes.
I think that it goes without saying...
Can I ask a question at this point? Why are you going,
Is this the general?
Yes, this is General Shaw.
General, don't ever interrupt me and mock the way I talk.
What I can tell you, my friend... Oh,
hold on, General. Just take it easy. Go ahead, Herb.
Well, that's dirty pool.
Yeah, go get yourself another drink of water there, General, because you're starting to sound like... you're starting to sound like Mickey Mouse again. Or should I say Mighty Mouse, you know.
Boy, this guy's really asking for it. You want $300 worth, don't you?
Every penny.
Well, I'll tell you... Would you get him into the kitchen and get him some water? Go on. Oh, we got to take a break.
Wait a minute. You can't do that to me. I'm Herb Sue.
It's 20 after. I got to take a break. Sorry. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online at philhendryshow.com. And Herb Sewell will continue with this discussion. What the hell are we talking about?
Giving nuns...
giving nuns contraception. What? God, is that sick. Or weird. Or both. I don't know. Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. On the line with us is Herb Sewell. Herb is at an undisclosed location. Actually, you're in transit someplace, Herb. Herb, you know, a lot of people always ask us, why is he at an undisclosed location? So if we're Herb, is on parole from, not really on parole, but he's at a halfway house for offenders, we'll say. And we will say that he was in custody and incarcerated at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital there. So you know, Herb, I guess we're giving him the whole story, huh?
It's not a pretty story. You know, it's not the prettiest story in the world, but I it is a story nonetheless, and one that must be told, as all tales must be. But I think to get back to the story that we're talking about here, the nuns. We must never forget the nuns, and never forget what the nuns have done.
What are you talking about? What the nuns have done?
No, I don't mean. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Not what the nuns have done, but the nun, as the nun exists. You see, because the nun. I was thinking. See, I knew I was going to be on your program this evening, and I said, "Well, now, what can I say of the nun that hasn't been said?" You know.
Herb, let's get to the point here. We're talking about the contraception.
Yes, that's exactly what I want to
talk about, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I want to talk about. I'm sorry, but I've got a little tongue-tied here, because what I wanted to say, and I think it really needs to be brought to the fore in a discussion of this nature, is that the nun, while the nun will tell you, in the legal sense, the nun, always the nun, is there, and the nun watches. Don't ever forget that the nun watches. The nun is there. And I say the nun, knowing that there are more than one nun. There is the monolithic nun. You know, the monolithic nun, in much the same way that we had the monolith...
What is he talking about?
This guy's driving me around the bend. If you don't get to the point, I'm going to go nuts.
All right, hold on. Now, Herb, you're not sticking to the point here.
I apologize, sir. But, you know, one of the problems is that because of Mother... As you know, I don't think right because of Mother. Everyone knows that, right?
We know that... I've said that you're... I don't want to say why you went to prison, because we've already been down that road, okay? I don't want to say why you went to the forensic hospital, why you were incarcerated for 8 years in a hospital for the criminally insane. I mean, we might as well say it, right?
I absolutely believe you must say it. You must say it. You can't. We must go on. We have to go on. You must say it. You can't keep it in. No. I would never abide the fact that you're saying it. Yes, I was in a hospital for the criminally insane. All right, ladies and gentlemen that are listening. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say anything other than Phil, he sugarcoats it.
No, I'm not sugarcoating. It says forensic hospital.
Well, forensic hospital, schmembenzic hospital. You know, the doctors used to say. But no, it was a hospital for the criminally insane. I met, and we were insane. I was quite mad. I've always been mad. You know, I've always been insane. But I did meet there some very fine people, not just Dr. Suffolk, not just Dr. Warner, not just Dr. Morgan, not just Dr. Etchebaron and some of the others. I met wonderful inmates there as well.
Can we please get to the point of the contraception?
I'm sorry, Margaret. So the nun...
Let me just refresh your memory here. The nuns sued, and it went to the Supreme Court. They don't want to have to be ordered to provide health care for contraception. They don't want to have to be ordered to have contraception.
Exactly. That's the point. Well, now, on the surface of that, we're led to believe by the nun, that the nun doesn't need contraception, and therefore the nun should not be forced, to have contraception. But I beg to differ, and I do use the term nun in the singular, because there is a monolithic nun. The nun, as the nun exists today, is not quite the nun as the nun existed in the 19th century, but nonetheless, and I say nonetheless, it's not trying to be funny.
That's pretty funny, though, Mr. Sewell, the nun.
The name is Sewell. The name is Sewell, you half-wit. The name is Sewell.
Sorry, Mr. Sewell.
Oh, God, I would be doing you, it would be a kindness, Phil. It would be a kindness for me to strangle him. You say the word.
No.
It would be a kindness.
No.
My God.
No. Let's get back to what we're talking about.
It would be a kindness, Phil.
I'm going to hang up on you, and then I'm going to report you to the parole guy, okay?
My God, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
1 minute.
Yeah, I would.
I just heard someone say 1 minute.
Hold on.
What? Why don't you get this show under control, Phil, for the first time in what may prove to be your very short life?
Well, what the hell does that mean?
She's talking about if you keep fooling around with this Sue-El, why, that guy, they'll find you butt up with a flower in it. Don't worry about it.
That's actually Lloyd's line, not yours, General. Well, what's the difference between me and Lloyd, huh?
Other than the fact that my voice cracks. Oh, I love this. I would love to come out in a pink prom dress and skip down the aisle with my face painted like Baby Jane. What do you think?
We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
What are you laughing at?
Hey.
Honeycomb, well, honeycomb, won't you be my baby? Well, honeycomb, be my own.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back. Herb Sewell on the line with us here from... Well, from where are you, Herb? You can at least probably tell us what freeway you're on.
Well, I feel I'm on the 405 right now. I'm on the ill-fated 405. And I heard you talking about, Jimmy Rogers getting his brain speed in. You know, and I have to say this.
Do you find that funny, Herb?
Well, hold on, Margaret, please. I found it amusing to hear your description of Jimmy Rogers getting his brains kicked in and then crawling to his car. And his last act before losing consciousness was to hear his song Honeycomb on the radio and turn it up. Wouldn't that be... Was that sort of an interesting thing?
Well, I don't find anything funny about it, but I...
No, you don't find anything funny about that. But you have the most black sense of humor of anyone I know. And you're allowed to say all these vile things, but when I come on with a very choice piece of humor like that, you lift your leg to it, pass gas, urinate, probably even defecate, turn, look at it, take your time.
Okay, Herb, I get it. I didn't give you enough respect. It was funny.
I thought it was very funny.
What did he say? Herb said...
No. You're not doing my material for me. I'll do my material. I'll do my act for me. Thank you very much. I'm not going to be Lenny Bruce here having some cop stand up in a courtroom and do his act for him. I'm not going to do that.
Well, no one's going to mistake you for Lenny Bruce.
Touche, Margaret. In any event, I said, General Shaw, that Jimmy Rogers' last act before he lost consciousness that day on the freeway was to crawl to his car, crawl up into the seat, reach for the volume knob, and turn up Honeycomb, which was on the radio at the time, and then lose consciousness.
Now I'm laughing.
I told you it was funny. I told you it was funny.
All right, so let's get back to the contraception thing. Now, Nikki, you had a question. The nuns are not allowed to have... No, not allowed. The nuns don't want to be forced to have to be covered for contraception. The Christian Brothers Services that provides the medical plans don't want to have to force this kind of coverage on the nuns. And so, therefore, it would mean probably a reduction in their rate. Nikki, what was your question?
I was just kind of curious what they would do.
Now, can I interrupt? Your name is Nikki, is that right, Nikki?
Yes.
Oh, Nikki, this is Herb Sewell. I'm sorry, no one properly introduced us.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Now, are you, you're one of Phil's girlfriends, or what do you do?
Yes, I'm one of his girlfriends.
No, she works on the show.
You are? She works on the show and you are his girlfriend? Well, that's very convenient. You do. That means he doesn't have to pay you.
Or he does.
Yeah.
What does that make me?
Anyway, what was your question?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. Take it off the subject. Take it off the interesting subject and put it back on something boring. What was your question? I'm not saying you're boring, darling, but what was your question? What did you want to ask me? Something about the birth control?
I was just curious what that would mean for nuns who have medical needs for it.
Why would you have a medical need for contraception I'm not familiar with? Why would you have that need?
Well, there's something called PCOS. And
PCOS?
It's polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
And they use the birth control pill for that. Imbalances.
What does that do? What does the birth control pill do for PCOS?
It regulates you.
What she calls PCOS?
Yeah. So in other words, you would use this as a medicine. You would use the birth control pill as a medicine. What about that?
What I was going to say is the following thing. I don't know about this exotic condition that Nikki brought up here. You know, I don't doubt you, Nicky. I don't doubt that it exists, but I don't know. It sounds exotic. It sounds pretty far out, if you ask me. But I will tell you this.
I promise you, it's pretty... It exists, and...
But you sound unsure, almost as if I'm sure we think we saw movement on Mars, but we aren't certain. That's how you sound about this.
It happens very frequently for women.
I don't know.
So, in other words, what she's saying is this is a medical condition that is treated by using the birth control pill.
All right, let me ask you something, Nicky. Is there any other medicine, an alternative medicine, that might also be used for this condition? You see what I'm saying? In other words, if you don't have the condition, why would I require you, through insurance, to purchase penicillin if you don't have gonorrhea, for instance? Why would I require you to purchase antiviral medicines if you don't have viral pneumonia or some other kind of virus? You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
All right, well, I don't get any of this.
No, I know you don't get any of this, and I don't get any of it. What I'm telling you, I'm telling Nikki, I'm telling Margaret, I'm telling Bud, I'm telling Robert, I'm telling the General, I'm telling every mother's son that's listening, I'm telling every swinging, out there, I'm telling you that the nun... I have known the nun, and I've known others who've known of the nun. Don't be fooled. If any woman needs birth control pills, the nun does.
All right, so Herb, it's no secret you got a problem with women.
Yes, I've got a problem with women, yes. I had a mother, and the things that mother did to me. Yes, I've got a problem with women, of course.
All right, well, and your irrational problem with all women because of your mother has led you to the mental hospital, and now you're out on at a halfway house. And what does any of this have to do with the birth control? Because you think that nuns are out there screwing...
Priests, hello? Priests. And how about the little boys that go to the schools? Oh, yes. Don't think for 1 minute...
Look at Herb, I'm not going to have you on here just throwing around a lot of slanders, all right?
Throwing around a lot of slanders? Oh, get a load of you all of a sudden. Listen to Perry Mason here. Listen to Matlock. Listen to, who's the new guy? Just saw Greg Kinnear with the show. Skank, a slut, a slob, or something like that. Roseanne Show? Huh?
What?
What's the name of the show that your friend Mr. Kinnear...
My friend, huh?
Well, what's the name of it?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. It's called Slob.
Slob? Is that it?
I think it's called Slob, yeah.
All right, Slob. You think you're another slob?
No, I don't think I'm another slob. I'm just saying...
All right, well, then don't tell me what the law may or may not say. I'm telling you that the way these nuns operate, believe you me, my friend, oh, yeah, there's a whole lot of sunshine between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m., and it's happening in Sister Margaret's room at the end of the hall. Oh, yeah. I'm Herb Sewell, and...
No. No one gets to lock out with the name except me.
We've been through this before.
Well, I'm locking out with my name, all right? All right, harlot. I'm locking out with my name.
Okay.
I thank you for cutting him off, because I was about to flip my lid.
You know something, Phil? With all respect, that guy's a mental midget. I'm telling you.
Herb Sewell's a very brilliant guy. I mean, he's crackers. And obviously, having him on just then, that was a whole lot of weirdness. What's that story about?
You talk about a nun, and they're going to have sex with everybody.
Don't sound like it.
Well, what's his hang-up, anyway?
Something between him and his mother, which triggered a whole episode in his life, which led to a hospital for the criminally insane, okay? That's what the thing is, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But, I don't know, maybe there was a nun involved, too.
My God, and the way he slandered the clergy of the Catholic Church, everyone knows that there was that episode with the priests, but that doesn't mean you have to paint the nuns with the same broad brush. And he refers to them as the nun, like one singular thing.
That's kind of what he thinks.
Well, you know, it's very common to look on those things that frighten us as a singular, monolithic thing of horror and evil. The nun, or if you will, that would be a good horror film, Phil, for you or one of your friends that works in the, you're talking about the televisions and all of this. They should make a movie called, can you call it Nun, you know?
Yeah, that'd be pretty good, Mr. Henry. You could have a nun, and then like a kid taps a nun on the shoulder and goes, hey, sister, can you tell me about my homework? And then the nun turns around and she's all like, bah.
Yeah, like a ghoul in a nun thing.
Okay, fine. Why don't you guys write it?
Yeah, let's write it, Robert, okay?
Yeah. This might be the big break we've been looking for. Yeah.
Not now. Where are you guys going?
To go write it?
Get in here. Could write it after the show. None.
Well, goofier things have happened, Mr. Henry. Probably in your life and mine, goofier things have happened. But I'll tell you, a movie called Nun, where the nun turns around...
We already heard the premise, General. I don't think I need to hear it again.
Well, all right. So the nun turns around and she goes, ugh, like that.
Well, that's not my idea. That was their idea. My idea is the nun swings around. She pivots on the left foot. You know the Mother Goose shoes that they wear?
All right. Hold on, because I have to go to a break. Have we got time? Okay, go ahead.
Well, am I telling the story or am I not?
You're confusing the general.
Go ahead, General. We've got a minute.
Well, what if I can't tell it in a minute?
Well, get as much out as you can.
All right. You see, years ago, when I was assigned to Rockland Air Base as an adjunct...
I don't want to hear about that. Tell me about that.
Oh, the nun. I was thinking that the nun, you tap her on the shoulder, she pivots on the left foot, wheels about on the heel of the Mother Goose shoe, and there staring at you from the nun habit is a ghoul. Well, I guess that's what your idea was.
That was already the idea we had of a guy tapping a nun on a shoulder.
Come up with a better nun thing.
I've got one. How about a nun bursting out of the stomach of John Hurt? You know?
That was alien.
Wait a minute. A nun bursting out of the stomach of John Hurt. What about it?
Well, Margaret said they had that in Alien.
Yes, but you're not going to do that again.
And why not? That was a winning scene.
Well, yeah, okay, that was a winning scene. But what has that got to do with the movie you're making?
It's a moment of horror that will take the... Are you nuts or something? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. A nun bursts out of the stomach of John Hurt. Well, okay, that's scary, yeah. But, I mean, are you going to make a whole movie out of that? How did the nun get in there? Why is it a nun? Why is it John Hurt? Are they on a spaceship? You know.
Boy, you got a lot of questions, mister, and you got no answers.
All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous... I didn't think that you had any answers yourself for that. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. A few minutes left here in the program. Join us Sunday night in San Francisco for Sketchfest, The World of Phil Henry at the Eureka Theater, Sunday night, 8 p.m.
At first pleasure.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Nikki and I were talking during the... Where is Nikki? Nikki, are you there?
I am.
Now, she has a story. We're talking about nuns, and Herb Sewell is off the charts. But we were talking about nuns and contraception. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Catholics, Phil. I know you're raised Catholic.
Yes, and in many ways I still am.
In many ways? What is
it? Oh, don't qualify it, Henry. Either you are or you aren't.
I'm still a Catholic.
Yeah, anyway, Nikki, what did you find? She found a very fascinating story. Tell them. She was telling me this. I couldn't believe it.
There's a
Salvation
Army. Wow.
It's a Salvation Army? No, it's a Salvador.
Yes.
Dolly.
She's a nun.
Oh, a nun.
Who gave birth last week in Italy.
What about that? What would Herb Sewell say to that?
That would probably bolster Herb's argument. She gave birth in Italy, a nun.
She claimed she didn't know she was pregnant.
She claims she didn't know she was pregnant. Is this an educated woman? Obviously not, right?
You see, a lot of these nuns that come from the jungle, and I'm not being disparaging, she's from El Salvador. Is that correct, Nikki?
Yes.
All right. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they have education. Does she claim, this will be the big one, does she claim it was an immaculate conception?
No.
Thank God. Thank God Almighty.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Well, whatever. So,
No, but here's the interesting thing. What did she name the child?
Francesco.
Bingo.
Well, what does that mean?
Oh, are you ready for that? So the Pope did it, huh?
Wait a second. She named it Francesco after the Pope.
Yes.
Yes. Well, what? Put two and two together, Phil. Scratch that bald noggin of yours and let's get some air in. Do you understand? finally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Pope. He had sex with her, and she had his kid. Why? Because this nun said so. What's the speculation, Nikki? What are they saying? Is there anybody doing any commentary-type commentating?
Well, her mother superior says it seems she was not able to resist temptation. That's the Ullman commentary that's happened.
Obviously. You know, that's obvious. But nobody is attributing it to the to the Pope.
Let me tell you something, Phil. While you laugh your life away sitting in your little disc jockey chair here, worlds are changing out there. Whole worlds are colliding.
Well, what does that mean?
It means weirder things have happened, my friend.
Better get some water.
Well, I think what the general is saying is there was a time when popes and nuns... Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? That was in the days when it was actually considered to be something that popes were entitled to. They had all kinds of ideas that popes could have carnal relations with women, but it wasn't the same as other men. It was dispensing grace. It was...
I'll bet it was dispensing with grace. And then he's going to go on with Marjorie.
Isn't that funny? So it just sounds to me like a small-time, you know...
Yeah, just some small-time chick trying to shake the Pope down for a couple of bucks. Don't sound like she's going to get it.
She's not trying to shake the Pope down, is she, Nikki?
No.
Okay, so there's been no...
No, there's no communication, Nikki, with the papal offices.
No.
Not that they know. I wonder if the Vatican police have been alerted, if there was an attempted shakedown, if they met someone at a coffee shop.
No, they didn't meet anybody at a coffee shop. Nikki, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well...
I was thinking about that whole idea of, what happened to David Letterman? Didn't he get shaked down, as Bud would put it?
Yeah, David Letterman, he's not a nun.
I didn't say he was a nun. I said, didn't he get shaken down?
Yeah, I did. That guy, the one guy.
Well, there was a guy that said that David Letterman had sex with his wife. No one believed it because, well, look at David Letterman.
That's not any proof.
Well, no one believed it. I don't think anything happened. The man was... trying to extort money, but in this case, as far as I can tell, no.
All right, well, I don't think so either. And the Mother Superior said that the woman was not able to resist temptation, so...
Talking about popes used to have sex with ladies and everything?
Yeah, hell yeah. Look, the Pope, the Catholic Church has got far too much history for it to just, you know, say nothing. I mean, the Catholic Church is aware of its own history. It's aware of what it's been through, and it's... A lot of people don't like the Pope. A lot of people have an opinion about the Pope,
See, they're not even Catholic, the ones that have an opinion.
But they should have an opinion, because the guy is a very, very powerful, very present figure and symbol of something. He is the singular most, I don't want to say popular, but certainly the most famous of all religious leaders anywhere in the world, the Pope, because that dude goes back to, at least in Catholic... in Catholic tradition and liturgy, he goes all the way back to Peter. He goes back to Rome. He goes back to, on this rock I will build my church, and that's Jesus. So, you know, the Catholics claim that they have this direct lineage from Jesus in the person of the Pope.
That would be inbreeding.
Yeah, what about that?
Inbreeding? What are you talking about, you lummox?
Talking about... Yeah, what an idiot. You don't even understand.
What he's trying to say to you, if you'll listen to him, Margaret... If there is direct lineage from Jesus to the present-day Pope, there must have been inbreeding.
It's not talking about actual relations in terms of blood.
But what are you idiots talking about?
You're calling me an idiot. I had a...
Hey, watch it. We're talking about the fact that it is a lineage having to do with the administrative and the symbolic head of the church. There's no sex or whatever.
I didn't say sex. I said blood, I wouldn't call it sex.
No, I wouldn't. It was more like...
It's more like animal husbandry.
Look, General, and I'm only going to say this once.
You dare threaten me?
Oh, I'm not threatening you. I'm telling you, okay? This is not something having to do with inbreeding. Jesus to the present-day Pope in the tradition of the Catholic Church means simply that it was Jesus who anointed the first Pope, and so thereafter, each Pope anointed after the one in front of him, there is this... line that extends from Jesus. Now, that's the belief in the Catholic Church. Did it happen that way? I don't know.
This book that you've been reading, which has been putting a lot of this garbage in your head, what's it called?
I don't think it's garbage. It's a fantastic book. It's called Zealot, The Life of Jesus of Nazareth. I highly recommend it if you're open-minded. If you are closed-minded and you don't want your world rocked, it's not going to, if you are truly a Christian, it is not going to upset your beliefs at all. It is going to be a further revelation of this man and what his followers in succeeding generations created. Because here, look, this is only my opinion, and my opinion doesn't count for, just take it for what it's worth. What Christianity, and I think the great religions of the world, puts its weight on and puts its stock in is this idea of faith. When you have faith in something powerful, then your life changes. And that's what I believe Jesus represents in the Christian faith. Now, you can say what you want. You can call me a piece of crap. You can, you can say whatever you want. But, hey...
You're a piece of crap.
Thank you.
Oh, this song's so... This song rocks the house. Yeah. What you see is what you get. Woo!
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. No, we're leaving. That's it. We'll see you guys on Monday. Hope to see you in San Francisco, some of you, all of you, many of you, partially of you, for the Sketch Fest. We will be back on the air Monday night here on the world-famous Phil and Me Show.
Some people have hearts of stone.
Well, this song, I think
this song is religiously anointed.